Good morning to everyone. I hope everyone got over the day off yesterday, which unfortunately really changed nothing. This year is dedicated to the memory of my father, Tzvi Meir Ben Moshe Yonatan Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo, as well as we're in the Shloshim for my first Rebbe, a Rebbe that I didn't leave, thank God, for 23 years, who passed away just a few weeks ago, Rav Binyamin Yehuda Ben Rav Tzvi, Zichrono Levracha. As I said at the beginning of the year, the series this year is not going to be called Practical Halacha, How It Works, but rather, I would call it Murmurings of a Mourner Minyanair. Someone that goes to Minyan is now in mourning, and ultimately acts a little steam about what he sees in Shul. It could be positive things, don't get used to it, but most of the time it would probably be things that we need to fix further, challenges that we have in Shul. And one of them is the one we're going to talk about today, and that is coming to Shul, getting instructions of sorts, shapes, and sizes, and just taking it at face value. And it's interesting, outside of shul, if a doctor says A, B, or C, you would ask him why and what does it do. He says, for example, or she says, to go and jog every morning for 10 minutes. You'd ask him what's the value, what's the virtue, etc. But somehow when we come to shul, I don't know why, people come in and like they leave their brains outside the door, and they walk in, and they do very peculiar things. Amongst them, just take things at face value. For example, you can have a chazan that's terrible, and when he comes down, something to be chazan, everyone wishes him a yasher koach anyway. As opposed to giving him positive or negative feedback that would ultimately help him for the future. So, I think it's important that when we go to shul, we'll be able to, God willing, know what's happening, be able to question, be able to fix, be able to make our davening a better davening. And the best way to do it is not to talk about davening, as we say in Yiddish, in the Luften. You know, the experience of davening is so, oh my gosh, I can't even explain it because I don't know really what it is, so I can't explain it. Take what you do in shul and ask why. Why do we stand up here? And why do we sit down there? So one of the things amongst the many that I'd like to talk about this morning is a phenomenon that we have in shul on Rosh Hashanah. On both days, and that is the topic of this year, and that is not when you get the announcement, do not speak, don't say anything from the bracha on the Tkiyat Shofar until the last shofar blow after Musaf. Everyone here has heard that wonderful announcement? Mm-hmm. Good. Is it hard to abide by that announcement?
No.
Yes. Maybe. A kid sitting next to you. Okay. So let's see if indeed it's required and why. Now I gave a shiur like this 9 years ago. It's on Wayu Torah in Hebrew. But my rule of the thumb is I can repeat a shiur as long as I have a chiddush. And today I have a chiddush on this shiur that I didn't know then. So I'm going to share it with you. You may like it or you may say he wasted our time. Okay. In general, when you make a bracha, what should be your next move?
The mitzvah.
When you make a bracha, not a mitzvah, on a cookie, what's your next move? You eat it. Says the Rambam on top of the source sheet, Hilchot Brachot, Perek Aleph. This is like Brachot 101. We learned this in grade 2 or in grade 3. Tops. Kol HaBrachot Kulan, Lo Yafsik Ben HaBracha, Ben HaDavashim, Mevachim, Elav, Edberim, Achirim. You do the bracha, you either do the mitzvah right away, or you eat the cookie or the piece of bread. So if indeed you said, Borei, my name is Onot, and then you said, hey Alex, how are you? You have to make the bracha again. But if you said the bracha, and afterwards you said something that had to do with the bracha, or the mitzvah, or the cookie, it's not considered what we call in Hebrew what? A hefsek, a recess, a distraction. And then the Rambam does ketzad. When the Rambam says ketzad, it's like, Mitch, half of your brain is not up yet. You didn't drink a cup of coffee. And the Rambam's going to take you with your hand and tell you exactly what he meant. So you don't have to imagine it. The Rambam's going to say ketzad. I love the ketzad. Listen to this. Now I'm about to ruin the myth of a Friday night and a Shabbos morning for many people. And if you eat bread at Shalosh Shudas, Shalosh Shudas. Okay? Forget about Netilas Yadayim, that's a separate shiur. We dealt with it. Now we're Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. We're holding by the real McCoy. All right? Everybody ready? Arthur, Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. What are you supposed to do next? Eat the bread. Says the Rambam. Kegon shebirech al apat. Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. Ve'kodem sheyochal. And right before you ate, Amar, you said, Havilu Melach. Bring me the salt. Havilu Tafshil. What's Tafshil? Something cooked. Now, times of the Rambam, it wasn't like we eat today. We eat one little kezayit of bread, and then we eat other things. And at times of the Rambam, they eat a lot of bread with maybe one piece of chicken. So a tafshil was eaten with the bread. It's like today, you dip the bread in the hummus. Bring the hummus. Hamot zelecha min haaretz. Bring the hummus, and then you eat. Tnu l'ploni lechol. Hamot zelecha min haaretz. Hey, he looks very hungry. Give him the first bite. Or tnu machal labehima. The dog is barking. Give the dog. And anything like it, so I would assume that everyone has the salt over here, and the challah over here, and the knife over here, and then we cut the bread in a way that's pasul l'shchita. Anyone know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the five psulim of shchita is you don't have to push into it. I have yet to find the challah knife that you don't have to push into. So you cut the challah, and you didn't eat yet, but you're cutting the challah. Does that have to do with the challah? Yeah. If you eat cut the challah, you say, pass the salt, no issue. When is the issue? Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Did you hear about the elections? That's a hefsek. Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. What a junky shear we had Wednesday morning with Grunstein. Hefsek. But if you say, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, pass the salt, no issue. So if we have to take this to our sugya, what would you say? Rosh Hashanah, you made a bracha. What are you supposed to do next? Lishmor kol shofar shechiyanu. What do you do next? You blow the shofar. Can you say tkiya? Can you say tkiya?
Yeah.
Seems like mi'inyan habracha. Now comes a trick question. Can you daven? Is davening have to do with the tkiyot? No. So, gentlemen, what do you say? All right. So in order to answer that question, let's go to the basics. Next source on this page. So why do we do this peculiar thing on Rosh Hashanah where we blow 30 kolot before Musaf and then 30 kolot between the brachot of after Malchiot, after Shofarot, and we forgot one in the middle? Zichronot. Why do we do that? Kedelar beva satan, to mix up the satan. Whatever that might mean, not the topic this morning, the Rambam Paskins in Hilchol Shofar. Ze shetokeh kesheh yoshim, hu shetokeh aseh darbachot kesheh umdim. The same person that did the tkiot before Musaf should do the tkiot after Musaf. Ve'eino medaber ben tkiot shemiyushav v'tkiot shemeumat. And you shouldn't talk between that and this. Ve'imsach b'nehem, but if you did talk, Afal pisha var, even though it's no good, you shouldn't have talked. Wow. So we just learned in the Rambam that if you made a bracha on a mitzvah and you started to talk about something that has nothing to do with it, no good, you have to make the bracha again. But here it says, if you spoke, let's say you did the 30 kolot, and then right afterwards you said something along the lines of, he's a little squeaky this year, this is paltokeah. He didn't practice. So if you say that, the Rambam says, bad. But you don't have to go back and make a bracha again. Why? Let's buttress the question. The Shulchan Aruch. Lo yasiach. Don't talk. Lo atokeah ve lo atzibor. We hear the shofar. The tokeah blows the shofar and hears the shofar. Don't talk. Ben tkiot shem yushav le tkiot shem umad. Between the tkiot before Musaf, the tkiot during Musaf. Ve'ein tzarich lomar. She lo yasichu ben bracha le tkiot. And of course, it goes without saying, you right away blow, don't talk. Adds the Ramah quickly. Meal, however, so if you are about to blow shofar, you made the bracha, and you said tkia, is that a hefsek?
No.
No. If you told the Baal Korah, no good, go back, your shvarim wasn't good, is that a hefsek? No. But if the chazan blurts out, hinini he'ani mimas, is that a hefsek? Comes the Ramah and says, no. Now that, I didn't understand. Because we just learned Brachot 101, that if it has to do with the mitzvah, it's not a hefsek. But what does this have to do with the mitzvah? Davening musaf, we do it every Shabbos and every Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, is not an exception to the rule. Why is it that if we start talking about davening, not about the tkiot, we say to the chazan, louder, that's not a hefsek. And you don't make a second bracha. Yes, Bruce, I'm just warming up.
Could it be that the shofar blows, you've already heard your yotza already, and everything else is sort of extra?
No, that's a very good answer. Bruce says, well, you already did 30 kolot, so everything else is extra. We'll get to that. Hold that thought. Very good. Let's just get warmed up a little more. The Ramah paskins later on in a different seif, Tavkuf Pehei, Nohagim lahakrot lifnei atokeder, sedat kiyot milo bemila, kadei shelo yitev v'nachonu. The Ramah says, by me in Krakow, we say tkiya, shvarim trua, tkiya. That's okay. As a matter of fact, it's so okay, says the Ramah, that what? Pardon? It's nachon, right? It's correct. Says the Magen Avraham, pashut! Simple. Sheim sach ben abrocha that kia me'inyan tfila, tzarich lachzor belevarech. He says that between the bracha and the tkiya, if you talk about davening, no good. Umashi katava ramad tfilot lo have hefsek, hainu ben tkiya the tkiya. You have to first start the mitzvah and you can talk all you want. Ava ben bracha le tkiya have hefsek v'tzarich lachzor belevarech. And the Mishnah Berurah says because of this, that indeed, ben tkiyot l'miyushav l'me'umat shari lechatchila la'asiyach me'inyanam. Once you blew the 30 kolot, like Bruce said, you already did the mitzvah, you can talk about tkiyat shofar or davening, right? And the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah goes on, look at the bolded lines, lachen lo yomara yehi ratzon et min mitpas b'machzorim ben atkiyot l'miyushav v'arka harev libo v'ayotzi b'fiv. Anyone know what he's talking about? So if you use like a new machzor, it's not in there. If you use one of the classical old machzors, it's right in there. In between the first 12 kolot, and then the next 10, and then the next 9, and next 9, there's Yehi Ratzons. What's Yehi Ratzon? May it be God's will that... that God should hear our tkiyos. Says the Ramban, no good, you're talking in between the tkiyos. If it was about tkiyat shofar, great. If it's about tefillah, no. But once we morph into musaf, then you could talk about either tefillah or tkiyot, not a hefsek. So to sum up, gentlemen, you shouldn't talk between the bracha to the end. But if you talk about tkiyat shofar during the first 30 kolot, A. B, once you morph into musaf, we're going to be very machmir, you talk about davening or tkiyot, that's not a hefsek. So let's just make it very tangible. Everybody ready? Let's say you blew the 30 kolot. Can you give a speech? Well, let's think about this. The 30 kolot are over. You're going to give a speech about what? If you give a speech about politics, out. But if you give a speech that has to do with davening... seems okay. If you give a speech about tkiyat shofar, seems okay. We're very machmir that between the bracha and the first 30 kolot, better not to talk about anything, including the yehi ratzons between. But once you morph into musaf, it's okay. So the question is why. So Bruce gave his first answer, and he said because once you did the 30 kolot, you did the mitzvah. All the rest is like, as the Gemara says, la'arbeva satan. So we can mix up the satan, albeit it has nothing to do with the original bracha. The Ramban, I'm about to teach you, says something very similar, Bruce, but a different way. This is what the Ramban says. The Ramban asks the following question. He had a drasha. This is not in the Ramban on the Gemara or on the Chumash. This is a drasha the Rosh Hashanah. Now, if the Ramban gave this drasha, my word of honor, he was thrown out on Rosh Hashanah and said, don't ever come back. You know how long the drasha was? It must have taken him 5 hours to say. This thick. Obviously, it wasn't a drasha he gave in shul. It wasn't a sermon. It was a written pamphlet that he gave out, or he wrote. And he wrote about many of the halachot of Rosh Hashanah, amongst them tkiyat shofar, and he asks the following question. So we blow shofar before musaf and during musaf, but he says, what do we do before musaf? No. Let's go through the tkiyat shofar. We say tkiyah, that always is on both sides. What's in between? Shvarim, Trua, or Shvarim Trua. Why do we do that? Each one has to be done three times. That's the halacha. We don't know what a trua is. So we do all variations three times. The first variation is shvarim trua together. The second one is... anyone? Shvarim. Tkiya, shvarim, tkiya. And the third is... tkiya, trua, tkiya. And each one three times, altogether 30. Right? Shvarim trua is two kolot. So, tkiya before, tkiya after. Four times. 3, 12. Then we do tkiya, shvarim, tkiya three times. 3 times 3, 9. Tkiya, trua, tkiya three times. 9, 9 plus 9 plus 12, 30. Okay. Then the Ramban says, we go over to Musaf. What do we do in Musaf? Says the Reef, he quotes the Reef. Chosrim v'tokin al seder habrachot tashrat pamechat, tashrat pamechat, tarat pamechat. Uvedin hu, sheyu tokinot amal seder brachot keseder shetokin keshehen yashvin. What's his question? If indeed we don't know what a trua is, and we do all variations, and the halacha is you have to do each one three times, so he asks the Ramban with the greatest respect, how come in Musaf we don't do that? Why is it after Malchiyot you don't do three times tkiya shvarim tur tkiya, and then three times tkiya shvarim tkiya, and then three times tkiya trua tkiya? If there's a real suffix what trua is, why don't we do that?
It must be that you're yotze from the
first. So the Ramban says not that you're yotze. He says there are two different kinds of blowings of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Listen to his words. He says the character of blowing shofar before Musaf versus the character of it during Musaf are totally different. One's a leftist, one's a rightist. If we can use current events. And we don't do a unity government, we keep them separate. Says the Ramban, Kevansha brachot in amak vodetat kiot. And he goes on to say this was the minog in the yeshivas. He goes on and on. He finally comes out and says, look at the bolded lines. Bevazai chozim v'tokin al seder habrachot dumya de ta'aniyot v'sha'at milchama sha'omrin zichronot v'shofarot v'tokim aleihem. Why? Look at the bolded lines. Kedei la'ha'alot ha'tfilah b'tkiyah. He says, we don't just blow shofar during davening on Rosh Hashanah. We did it on an ad hoc fast day. What's an ad hoc fast day? For example, if there's a drought, we fast. Says the Ramban, we blow shofar then. We also blow shofar during the Sha'at Milchama. Not that the soldiers are fighting by davening Malchiyot Zichronot B'Shofarot. They're not singing HaBen Yakir Li or Fayim and expecting our enemy to die. Rather, they were out in the fields and going out and fighting. And back in Shul, people were davening for their success and fasting. Says the Ramban, there we also blew shofar. That has nothing to do with the mitzvah of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It has nothing to do with Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lachem. But rather, lahalot et ha'tfilah b'tkiyah, we ask God, we want you to elevate this davening with the shofar blowings. So says the Ramban, before Musaf, what's the shofar blowing?
The mitzvah.
The mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Yom Terah Yelachem. Blow the shofar, hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You can't hear without blowing, so the mitzvah we paskin is hearing. That's the bracha, lishma kol shofar. We have to hear the shofar. We don't know what a tour is. We do all variations. 30. Done with Yom Terah Yelachem. Check. Now we go over to Musaf. Why are we blowing again? Says the Ramban, that's a form of davening that we're used to. We do it on ad hoc fast days, we do it in the war, and now we're at war. Why are we at war in Rosh Hashanah? God's judging us. We want to come out victorious. So we don't just use our normal tools, but rather, what do we use? Extra tools. We add Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot, and we use the Tkiyat Shofar. So I'm going to say it in my language. Before Musaf, Tkiyat Shofar is music. During Musaf, Tkiyat Shofar is a form of prayer. You thought prayer is only with your lips. Prayer is also with shofar. If I could say it in my language, my Rebbe Rav Amital was fond of saying, there's two ways of davening. One is to ask God for what you want. And the second way of davening is to say to God, God, I don't know what's good for me. This or that. I don't know if this job is good for me or bad for me. I don't know who should be the prime minister of Israel. I really don't know. God, do what's right for the Jewish people. So one form of prayer is saying, may this politician win the elections. And the other form of prayer is, God, you decide what's best for the Jewish people. Says my Rebbe Rav Amital that Tkiyat Shofar, ultimately, with the davening, is as follows. Before Musaf, we just blew the shofar, we heard the shofar, that's a mitzvah. Finished. Like shaking lulav. During davening, Rosh Hashanah, we have two forms of davening. We ask for things, right? What do we ask for? A good year, God remember us, God you should be favorable to us, etc., etc., bring us Mashiach. And what's the second kind of davening we do? Tkiyat Shofar, God, maybe I'm totally off on what I asked for, do what's right for the Jewish people for the new year. Says the Ramban, this is not connected to this, and now you understand everything we just said. Before Musaf, you're not allowed to talk, unless it has to do with the Tchiyos, because that's pure McCoy hearing Shofar. But during Musaf, you can talk about davening, not just about Tkiyat Shofar. Why?
It's not an interruption.
Because the Tkiyat Shofar is a form of prayer. So anything that has to do with prayer, let alone blowing Shofar, it's fine during Musaf. Before Musaf, not. Now you can understand the second thing. The Ramban said, you only do this trick of blowing Shofar after Malchiyot Zichronot V'Shofarot, where? Where? We do it at home? We blow in an old age home? Someone couldn't get the shul. You come to their house, you blow Shofar. You do also Malchiyot, you say Malchiyot, Zichronot, Shofarot, you say the whole thing, Areshet Tzifateinu, Yom Arat Olam. It will take you about an hour to get out of there, no? What do we usually do? We do 30 kolot, that's it. Says the Ramban, it's only done in a minyan. That's the way we paskim. It's only done in a minyan. Why? Because this is a very formal way of praying, only with a minyan, that you use Shofar as a form of prayer. You say, Malchiot, God, give us a good year, and Shofarot, I don't know if I just ask for a good thing, God, do what's right for the Jewish people. Okay? So, we summed up as follows. Usually when you make a bracha, you do the mitzvah, don't talk. But, on Rosh Hashanah, when you make a bracha on Tkiyat Shofar, you can talk about Tkiyat Shofar before Musaf as much as you want. You did too late, you look at your watch, your Tkiyah was too short, go back. I didn't like your Shvarim, go back. By the way, whoever's the one that's Makri, who actually stands at the Bima, should know the halachos so that the guy who goes back actually goes back for something that's warranted. I don't know why, but I feel many a times that people do it like for the sake of doing it. Like, I decided with the power vested in me, I want a better tkiyah. Absolutely terrible. Why? First of all, halachically, if he did a tkiyah and then he does it again, it might be baltosiv, it might be a hefsek. Number two, why are you wasting my time? Davening's long enough. Tircha de tzibura, you never heard a heart of? I didn't like the tkiyah. Based on what? My brain. Your brain, your Brooklyn-speaking brain, has nothing to do with my davening. After davening, you can blow a shofar all you want to make up for anything. But if it's a halacha tkiyah, good. That's before. During davening, you can talk about davening. For example, announcing the pages. And you could talk about tkiyat shofar. Please rise for the shofar blowing. Anything outside of that? No. Why, says the Ramban? Before Musaf, pure tkiyat shofar. During Musaf, tkiyat shofar takes on a character of davening. Yes, Bruce.
Is the shofar blowing this type of kavana, number one? Number two, if someone becomes late, and they only show up for the Musaf, does that count for them?
What was the first question?
Does the blower have to have that kavana that the first time he blows for the mitzvah, and the second time it's part of the daven, or does he have to have, or if he has a mitzvah, the whole thing is a mitzvah?
We paskin, first question, we paskin the halacha that you need mitzvot tzrichot kavana in a biblical commandment. So definitely at the beginning you should have kavana. During Musaf it could very well be that he did the biblical commandment already, as you said earlier, so he doesn't necessarily need kavana. However, kavana for a mitzvah could be good enough that I'm doing what God asks, so I do what the sages asked. And I believe anyone that blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah is doing it for that reason. He's not doing it to blow off, to show off his trumpet blowing. So that I'm not too worried about. The second question was,
the person comes late.
Right. If the person comes late, if he hears during Musaf, it could be fine because it doubles as both. But he should make the bracha first. I said this 9 years ago, nothing new. Now I'm going to bring you the Chiddush of this year. Another interpretation. How come this idea of you can talk, it's not so bad. Every other mitzvah, you talk, no good. Take a look. Why do we blow shofar the way I just said earlier? We do the variations of Trua. It's about because of this Gemara. Top of the second page. Yitkan Rabbi Bahu Bekesari. If you want to look smart, if you want to look like you know what you're talking about, say we do it because it's Takanat Rabbi Abahu. And everyone knows, wow, this guy's holding and learning. What did Rabbi Abahu do? In Kesari, when he was apparently the chief rabbi of Kesari, he said, Tkiyah, Shlosha Shvarim, Trua Tkiyah. Why? Manavshach im yelul yalil levit kia turat kia im genuche genach levit kia shlosh shvar mit kia mesap kelay im genuche genach yelul yalil. Rabbi Baal said, listen, I don't know what a tour is. It could be A, B, or C. It could be shvar and tour together. It could be trua alone. It could be shvarim alone. So because it's a suffix d'oraisa, let's do all of them. So davening's a bit longer, but we definitely atzei yedei chovat tkiyat shofar. You should know that after Rabbi Abahu, Rishonim and then Achronim came up with a few more sveikot. Now I'll just give out one. The shvar and trua should be in one breath or two breaths. If you want to be machmir for that, yeah, add in a bit. Give you one more. Does the shvarim have to be straight, do, 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 or crazy shvarim? Do, do, do. Well, if you want to do both, we do both. Since we have 100 kolot, we can play around a bit with that. Right? Well, those are sveikot outside of the realm. The real suffix is, what's a trua? Right? Now we have a machlokas rishonim. What does this gemara mean? It says, misapkele has a suffix. If the trua means genuche genach, what we call shvarim, or yalul yalil, trua, or maybe both of them together. That's the way we read the Gemara. And if you look on the right side of the page, that's the way the Beis Yosef says that Rabbeinu, who's Rabbeinu for the Beis Yosef? Who's Rabbeinu? It's not Rav Nachman Mebretzlaff. Who's Rabbeinu?
Rambam.
The Rambam! No. Huh? The Beit Yosef wrote a perush on the tour. So he's quoting the tour, and he says, the tour wrote, the Mesapkele Namim Shneim Kechat. We have a suffix. What true is? There's three options. We do all three. And then he adds, going to the bolded lines, Haramba Mashma Shein also Verkin. El Safek Bi Karadin Huchinistapik Lanu Betrua Ha'echi. The Rambam, as opposed to the ones on the left, agrees. And he says, we don't know what a true is. So we do all three variations. Rabbi Abahu came along, and Kedeli Histalek Min HaSafek. There shouldn't be a suffix what a true is. We do all three. And he goes on to say, the suffix gomor nistapik lanu le'inyan hadin v'shecheni radata smag. And he goes on and says, according to these, we showed him, how did they read the Gemara? Rabbi Abahu says, we don't know what a trua is. Maybe we used to know. We forgot what it is. We do all three variations. Yes?
You know, we don't know what the mezuzah is. So it's horizontal, vertical. We put it in the middle, which is unusual.
Bruce, the first and foremost thing you have to remember is that when you ask a question, you have to be precise. We don't know what a mezuzah is.
We don't know the position of the mezuzah.
Usual
that we take a position that's not even on the list.
Okay.
Here, it could be one of three. There's votes.
So allow me to share. A little Torah from the one I dedicated this year to from Rav Tabori, Zichrono Levracha. He said that indeed there's a machlokas rishonim. Does the mezuzah have to be horizontal or vertical? Up or sideways? Or down? And what do people do? They put it in the middle. So you should know it's an ancient custom. And there's many divrei Torah on it. Like when you go to a shever bachlis, there's a few like two go-to divrei Torah. And someone always gets up and wants to bore everyone. So he goes over and says this. I call this the Ma'ale Geira Tvar Torah. You know, he brings up what he already ate, like a kosher animal, and he says it. What does he say? A home has to be a place of compromise between the husband and wife. They can't be too opinionated. So what do? We put the mezuzah in the middle. So this is a nice compromise. So my Rebbe Rav Tavori says it could very well be you're not Mekayim anything. Because one day it says this, one day it says that. No one says this. So if you go to my house, you'll see what I did. I didn't do this.
But at least they picked one. Here, why would it glow all three choices? Just pick one. And that'll be the one that's possible.
Okay, so now you're alluding to all the other Rishon. If you look on the left side, the Rosh and the Ran have a totally different point of view. So the Rambam and the Smak say we have a suffix, we do all three. The Rosh and the Ran says, I don't understand. Rabbi Abahu lived at a certain time. I don't know what his years were. What did they do before Rabbi Abahu? What, no one was Yotze? Because maybe they only did Tkiya Shvarim Tua Tkiya. So maybe they weren't Yotze, because maybe the real McCoy, Trua is Shvarim. What did they do beforehand with all these years? Says the Ron and the Rash, and I quote the words, Lo Hayu Yisrael Yotzim Yedei Tkiya Shofar. So they say, with the greatest respect, Rabbi Abahu didn't do that. There was no suffix. If you do Tkiya Shvarim Tua Tkiya, or you do Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya, or Tkiya Tua Tkiya, you tell Yotze. Okay, you need a crying sound between two tkiyos three times, you're yotze. But what did Rabbi Abahu do? He said that, look, if you're in Efrat for Rosh Hashanah and they do tkiyah shvarim tua tkiyah, you think that's the trua. And then one year, for whatever the circumstances were, you go to a hotel for Rosh Hashanah. You know, you made a little money, you go to a hotel. And they bring this amazing shofar blower. And he blows tkia, tura, tkia. What do you say, Bruce?
Very nice.
No, you don't. Very nice.
I got a new style. Another style is very nice.
What is this, pluralism in shul? It's not pluralism in shul. It's a theocracy. What's the matter with you? You didn't do the proper tkruah. Then another guy comes up to you. You're right. You didn't do a proper tkruah. Bruce thinks Shvarim Truah is the proper Truah. He thinks the Truah is the proper Truah. This guy did a Shvarim. So in order not to have these fights, Rabbi Abau said, let's do all three so that everyone feels comfortable. So if you come from a shul, say, from the Tkiah Shvarim Truah Tkiah camp, and another guy next to you came from a Yeki community, from a Tkiah Truah camp, and the third guy came from a Sephardic community, Tkiah Shvarim, everyone feels comfortable. It has nothing to do with halacha, is just to make people feel comfortable and unified, like the national unity government. Everybody gets a piece of the pie. But it has nothing to do with the suffix in halacha, meaning any of the three yotzeh. So one second, just to finish the thought. How come the Gemara says misap kele, he had a suffix? So answers the Rosh and the Ran. Tzarich lomar, the lef suffix mamish ka'amar li'inyan dina, ela lichukei min agod, karu suffix. He said, a suffix doesn't mean, I don't know, doubt. It can also mean, there's different customs. And then he goes, the Ritva and the Tshuva says, that's why, during Chazarat HaShatz, we don't blow like before. What do? One Tkiah Shvarim Truah Tkiah. One Tkiah Shvarim Tkiah. And one Tkiah Truah Tkiah. If indeed there was a suffix, we should have done all three times. Why don't we do all three times? Why don't we do each one once? Because you're already Yotze. Makes no difference which one you use. But to make everyone happy, the Yekim, the Sfardim, the Ashkenazim, the Chassid, we do all three. It has nothing to do with a suffix lahalacha. Okay? So, Rabbi Abao said do all three variations. Machlokas Rishonim, but he have a real suffix, and therefore we do all three variations. Or we just wanted to unify the Jewish people. It has nothing to do with a suffix. It could be this way, that way, you're Yotze.
Do we apply that rule to other aspects of lacha to avoid machlokes? I mean, we could put the mezuzah in each position.
No, you can't.
Or put two mezuzahs.
There's a tshuva. It's a beautiful tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein about two mezuzahs. When you have a suffix, if the first mezuzah was puzzle, but you can't get it down because they overpainted on the door and you can't get it off. It was written to one of my rabbeim, Rav Aaron Rakefet. Very nice tshuva, in which he talks about that. You could put it up with the tanai. If this one's kosher, this one's just there for a decoration. But usually we do that. That's to be ultra machmir. Here all of a sudden it's not ultra machmir. It's a standard everywhere. So according to the Rambam, because it's a real suffix, we don't know. We used to know, we don't know. According to the Rosh and the Rambam, of course we know. Either you're the above. But we want to unify all the Jewish people on the Day of Judgment. We did it. Now comes, let's get back to our story. What does this have to do with our cheer? We talked about talking. Can we talk during Musa? No. What does that have to do with our cheer? So I'll give a nafkamina. The Yehi Ratzons we said earlier. So we said, according to the Ramban, before Musaf, real Tkiyat Shofar, no Yehi Ratzons. During Musaf, it's just to daven with Tkiyat Shofar. Well, let's see what Rav Ovadia Yosef says. Rav Ovadia Yosef in Shut Yabia Omer says, Ledat Rambam Mesiyato Shu Safek Mamash, Asu Lafsik Ben Tashrat Letashat, Tidami Lamafsik Ben Brachel Lemitzvah, Vahachanami Shamaod Yerechovat Betashrat. Says Rav Ovadia Yosef, the Tkiyot before Musaf, You can't say the Yehi Ratzons according to the Rambam. Why? Because we have a mitzvah, Yom Torah Yelachem. We don't know what it is. We have to do all three variations three times. Until we did that, we didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, if you talk in between and say Yehi Ratzons, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. But according to the Rosh and the Ram, the first time you blew Tkiah, Ar Minhag, Tkiah Shvarim Truah Tkiah first, three times, Yeyotze. Now why do we continue to blow? To unify the Jewish people. If it's just to unify the Jewish people, you can talk and say Yehi Ratzons. Ledat lefi divrei Rahag v'siyato sha'af b'tkiyat etashrat yotzim yedei chova. After the first three tkiyah shvarim tura tkiyah times three, you yotze. All the rest is just to unify the Jewish people. Or in his language, ve'ein atkiyot etashat v'tarat ma'akvin ha'mitzvah me'atorah yesh lomar shemutal lafsik b'nehem b'dvei tfilah v'tachanunim. So according to Rav Ovadia Yosef, why are we so makel that you're allowed to talk about other things? It depends on this machlokas. If indeed we don't know what a tura is, you got to be ultra machmir. Make sure you do a proper tura. There's three variations. When you do the three variations three times, then you can say, now I can talk a bit. But according to the Rosh, once you did Tkiyah Shvarim 2 or Tkiyah 3 times, you're Yotze. So what are the rest for? To unify the Jewish people. For unifying the Jewish people, you can talk. I want to be unified with Arthur. I can still talk to Bruce. One doesn't hurt the other. I believe that is an amazing chiddush on this question. Namely, why do we blow all the variations? Is it because of a suffix and therefore you can't talk? Or if it's because of unifying the Jewish people, and then once you did it, you can talk. And this has ramifications for many other things during davening. We talked about davening and tkiot, and we learned that it's a myth that you can't talk. You can talk about the tkiot, and during Musaf about davening or tkiot. Now I brought another one. The other day someone told me about someone that posts on Facebook, and he used a term I'd never heard before, and I loved it. He says, this guy posts on Facebook every time he says Asher Yatzar. Now what did he mean? He means the guy posts on Facebook on every little thing he does. Now, I just was thinking of this shir, so I said, you know, I never thought of that. If a person in the middle of the long musaf of Rosh Hashanah has to use the facilities, does he say Asher Yatzar, or is that a hefsek? So it's not davening, and it's not tkiyat shofar. Well, let's think about it now. According to the Ramban, you already did tkiyat shofar. What is davening? Davening with tkiyat shofar. You probably can talk. Why? Because your davening's not going to be hurt. You're going to say zichronot, and you're going to say the tkiyat shofar. It has nothing to do with the bracha before. According to the point of view, we don't know what a tkiyah is. Is it a tkiyah, shvartur, and therefore the bracha before and the bracha in everything's connected? Probably maybe you can't say Asher Yatzar. But if indeed we already fulfilled the mitzvah, probably you could. So I found the Shut Shevet HaLevi. Rav Levi Vosner deals with this, and he basically says a few more reasons to be makel on this. The etzem isur sicha azhu b'shulchan aruch u'mashma lehed yadavta sicha lo amirad the mitzvah Asher Yatzar v'chadome. When the Shulchan Aruch says don't talk, he meant don't talk idle things. But if you talk about things that you need to do, like you use the facility of Tzitzei Asher Yatzar, that's okay. It's a sicha de mitzvah. But the Rif was machmir, and therefore he said it's like talking between tefillin shayad and tefillin shel rosh. And as you know, the Rif, I believe, said there's only one bracha, la'anir tefillin, so you couldn't talk between them. So he was very machmir on this. But he thinks it's a big chumrah, because we have a law. Once you started the mitzvah, you can talk. When do we invoke that law? Once a year. If you don't invoke that law, you're going to probably have to say the bracha again and again and again and again. I am talking about something that has to do before Pesach. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu al bi'ur chametz. And you start checking for chametz. Let me ask you a question. If you do a proper bedikat chametz, you don't talk the whole time?
We just say
cold, hot. Is that talking?
It's about finding the...
The halacha is clear, says the Shevet HaLevi. Once you started the mitzvah, you can talk. See, if you made a bracha on lulav and you didn't shake the lulav, you have to make another bracha. But if I made a bracha on lulav and I started to shake, and then I said, "Ay, my arthritis," then you don't have to make another bracha because you started the mitzvah. So here, you already started the mitzvah. You did 30 kolot before. So therefore, you probably can talk afterwards. And if you go a step further, he says that the Pnei Yehoshua himself said it's okay, and based on what we said, we understand why it's okay. Why is it okay? According to the Ramban, you already fulfilled the mitzvah, it's just a separate mitzvah. According to the Rav Avadya Yosef, that it's really part of the mitzvah, then it's a problem. But if it's just to unify the Jewish people, we can definitely be makel. So to sum up, gentlemen, when you hear the words don't talk, it doesn't mean don't talk. It means don't talk about things that have nothing to do with davening and shul. But if it's to show the place and tell your kid, page 2, or to tell him, be quiet, you're disturbing what has to do with tefillah, that's fine. But if you start talking to your neighbor about how much money you make a year, a question only asked in the holy state of Israel, outside of Israel, you know what that's called? Evasion of privacy. But in Israel, on the street, how much money you make? Yeah. On the street, how much you pay rent? What's your mortgage? So if you do that, that's no good. According to some poskim, saying it's part of the tkiyat shofar. But if indeed we already fulfilled the mitzvah, we can be much more makel. And therefore on this question, even though tkiyat shofar is extremely important, it's the mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to the law of not talking, very, very makel for the reasons we said today. But having said that, I believe that the policy should be that the announcement should not be impossible. Don't talk, but rather, don't talk about things that have nothing to do with tkiyat shofar or davening. And then this includes talking, for example, telling your kid to be quiet or showing the page. That's absolutely fine. Okay, Kohanim, 100% fine. When it comes to a person that spoke out of turn, you see you can be very makel for the reasons we said. So, it's an announcement. We all respect it. But it shouldn't be an announcement like the Isser of Lashon Hara. Everybody knows it's there and we disregard it. Right? Did I sum up Lashon Hara pretty well? We know it's an Isser. We just don't talk about it. It's like a secret. Shh. Don't say anything. You want to enjoy talking about our neighbor? Quiet. Don't give us the truth. There's another example of that. Maybe one day I'll let off a little steam. Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Everyone knows this. Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Everybody knows that there's limitation, but just don't talk about it because, God forbid, this is going to hurt our Chol HaMoed, whatever it might be. You know, I want to wash the car in Chol HaMoed, so I don't want to know the Hilchos Chol HaMoed to find out it's Aser. So, Lashon Hara Chol HaMoed, there's a third example. Everybody knows what that is. Outside of Israel. I have to say, in Israel, this is pretty good. This is a well-kept secret outside of Israel. The well-kept secret is, I'm saying it quietly, you can't ask a non-Jew to do on Shabbos what you can't do. Outside of Israel, we said we know that, we disregard it, and we ask a non-Jew to do anything and everything in the book, outside the book. We just know it's there. We don't make a big deal about it. Now, we know it's there, the talking issue. So in order to make it tangible and fulfilled by the Jewish people, be practical. Namely, quote the Shulchan Aruch. Don't talk about anything that has nothing to do with davening and tkiyat shofar. And elaborate. If you tell your kid to be quiet or if you go outside for whatever reason, it's fine. But don't talk about anything that has nothing to do with tkiyat shofar and davening for the next few minutes. And I'll just end with this. If that's the case, you have to tell the chazan on Rosh Hashanah, we want a nice davening. It is only 2 days a year on Rosh Hashanah. Don't waste time. Make a nice davening. Because the longer you daven, the less the probability that the Jewish people that can't even take off their phones from a WhatsApp for exactly 10 seconds are going to talk. So make it a nice davening, an uplifting davening, not too long. So maybe, just maybe this year, we'll fulfill the dictum of not talking about anything that has to do with davening and tkiyat shofar.